live from Liverpool. We don't need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the first of this week's We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. I'm, of course, as ever, with the wonderful Rebecca.
Hello.
I think your voice broke there. How are you doing back?
Yeah, I'm okay.
What have you been up to today?
I've been dropping off donations of supplies for paramedics. So basically in Liverpool they've got a paramedic station because the paramedics aren't getting much time to take breaks. So they've still set up like a little snack station for them to get like a drink, a cup of tea, some snacks and things. So I've got involved in this, so he dropped off some donations.
That's bloody lovely of you. I wish I had your, what would you call it? Ethos? Ethics? Moral compass? I have none of these things. I literally had an email from work before saying, we've had lots of people asking how you can volunteer for the company whilst you're off furloughed. Unfortunately, you can't, but you can be seconded to another company who can help give you something to do with your time whilst you're off. And I was like, no way. And not because I don't want to donate or volunteer my time. I'll give all the money in the world, as we have done, but I am... not all the money in the world, but you know. But my time is literally, you never get your time back. And unlike a lot of people who will be furloughed off work and be like, now what do I do with my time? I literally cannot have enough free time.
Well, it's not that I'm just like trying to fill the hours.
No, I'm not saying that you are.
I'm quite happy sat on the couch. But at the minute, well, I mean, I feel a bit bad because like I'm fit and healthy, you know, we're all just locked down. And, I'm not an at risk. You know, if I get it, I'll probably be fine. But, you know, fit and healthy just here, I feel like I can help and there are people who need help. So, also at the minute, obviously everyone's in a bit of a precarious financial situation, especially us working in events.
Yeah.
So I don't have surplus money to be given away to be donating, but what I do have now is surplus time. So I'm happy to donate that time instead of money to help.
And that's, again, I've said this before, you are a lovely person.
Thanks.
And I am very much the dark to your light because time is the one thing that I am very skinflinty with.
That said, I got a bit funny about this volunteering, because I've been trying for weeks and weeks to volunteer.
Yeah.
So first of all, I signed up. The mayor of Liverpool put out this call for volunteers. They wanted to create like a Liverpool army. Signed up for that straight away. Didn't really hear much for the first week or two. So I started following these like groups on Facebook, you know, like local community groups and things. Wasn't getting much there either. Like someone had put up a request for help, but someone had beat me to it, you know, and I'd be like really annoyed. So I was literally putting like, I'll be your first reserve if this falls through.
Wasn't there a point where they said something like, you're not in this particular group, so you like aggressively got in touch with them?
Yeah, I did. So someone had put a post up saying, that it was about this paramedic one actually, saying, we'll be like, as well as donations, we'll be looking for anyone you can pick up and like bring donations to us, you know, if other people are self-isolating, for example, but are happy to donate, they need people to go and pick it up and drop it off. So I've said yes to that, like, and commented on the thing, like, yes, I'd be happy to help. But then one of the moderators or admins or whatever has said, this should be in another group, like, can you move this to a different group?
Yeah.
So they've put up, a special group for it. So then I've, like, been waiting and seen nothing. So then I've gone to that group and said you needed drivers, like, people to volunteer. I'm here, I'm ready to help with it. I'm, like, really, like, got, like, forced
Amazing.
It aggressively, yeah. There's a mask swap. Oh, yeah, I also personally approached that guy via email today about the donation. Remember the body shop? So someone in town was doing, they were putting together packs for people, like donation packs of like toiletries and things, you know, for like care workers and care homes and that, and people who were struggling to get older stuff. And he'd put like, you know, we'll be making them up on Thursday. It like, you know, come and collect them. We can't do them, but we can collect them. And I thought, well, not everyone's going to be able to
collect them.
To so come you, get on that day.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like hunted down his email address, like emailed it. And I was like, hi, like if you need, I've got a car, I can come and pick them up. If anyone needs them, but can't get them, you know, especially because they're like caring people.
And what did he say to that?
He said,
how did you get my address?
He said, thanks, and it was a kind offer, and he was grateful for it, but he never did take me off on it. And I'm not convinced he didn't need anyone dropping it off. I've been, like, high and low.
I've
like,
never met an
it.
Aggressive volunteer before.
I know, I've been, like, I've joined everything. I even had that Zoom chat yesterday about this.
You had a Zoom meeting with strangers about being nice.
There's a COVID-19 Liverpool.
We don't talk about. We don't mention
sorry,
that.
Sorry.
Stick with your volunteer, and that's fun and games.
And there's This Acorn is this, like, is this volunteer group. That was what the Zoom meeting was.
Right.
And they need leaflets as well, so I've put my name down for that. There's a spreadsheet that people fill it. Again, it's like, the second someone puts it, someone else has already got it, you've got to be like, proper. I mean, it's nice, obviously, because it means there's a surplus of volunteers.
Yeah, like, volunteers, but now there's like, so is there like cattiness within this volunteer community?
No cattiness. It's just, you just, when you open it and you're like, but it's already filled in.
Because I would love that if I was like, you know what, I'm a nice person, I'm going to volunteer. Oh, I noticed that volunteer Victoria's got it all again. There's nothing for me to be nice with.
No, there's no cattiness about it. It's a nice thing that people are doing, but it just makes you feel a bit redundant. You know, it's funny how you suddenly like want to be doing it dead quick. You know, yeah. You're like looking at it all the time to try and do this thing.
Well, in slightly like esoteric news, I've stumbled upon a subject which I didn't know existed, which I wanted to run by you. And it's actually a cracking website. I should really mention what it is. Somebody posted it online on one of the groups that I follow. I can't even recall which one now. But anyway, it was a link to an article, and I thought, I'm going to look at this as a website, and it's a great website. Let me see if I can find it. Anyway, the thing that it actually is... Oh, there it is. Esoterex. Right, or Esotrex, it's called. Okay. Esoterex.com. Go and check it out, guys, because if you're into all the stuff, as you are because you're listening... it's got loads of great articles on esoteric subjects, and there's some like really well written articles on there. So the article that drew me to it made me think about one of our previous chats, which is pro tips on how to cheat the devil.
Ooh.
So it means if you've got into a contract with the devil,
risky game.
This is how you get out of it, so you can still get your things. But it's not. It says pro tips. There's actually one tip that it discusses a few times.
I hate that when it's a misleading headline.
Yeah, but it's a great website. So it's esoterex.com. Esoterks, it actually is. So the tip, do you know what the tip is?
Yes.
Okay, the tip, apparently it's happened twice in history, is when you've made the deal with the devil apparently says, he says, because the devil's so vain, and he's also not very good with grammar within contracts, I know.
Citation needed.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. When he says, he will apparently say, the outcome of this is that I will take your soul, irrelevant of your body being buried within or without of a church.
Right.
Right? So your workaround is, you get buried in a church wall, apparently, so that you're neither within or without.
Okay, that doesn't seem like the greatest of tips, because who's going to start digging up the foundations of a church in order to bury you in it?
That's what I thought.
I'd have a job now. If you died and needed to be buried within a church wall, I'd have a hard job persuading someone to let me just hack at it and put you in there.
But he refers back to an interesting story where there's like actual, you know, there's physical evidence of this previously happening. So he says, in 1350 AD, the vicar of the church of Tremiricon in Denbighshire, North Wales, which we'll have been past, his name was Dafydd Dudu Hydrwg. For the sake of me messing that up, he will from now be called David. Okay. He had the misfortune of dying. The little village of Denbighshire rose to notability. This is the interesting thing. At the end of the 19th century, due to the discovery of dinosaur bones in the area. And he goes on to say in the next sentence something which I don't think he's messing with when he says this.
Cool.
And just... And everybody knows the devil buries dinosaur bones just to confuse us and make us believe in evolution.
I've heard that claim before.
Yeah, I've heard it from Baptists. Yeah. But so he says,
it's a test of your faith, apparently.
But then he goes on...
convenient.
Yeah, he goes on to say that that's evidence that the devil was definitely in Denbighshire at the time.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. So he means he physically himself came with it exactly. In his little spade. And, okay.
So he says, David also happened to be a celebrated poet, necromancer and grammarian. So it says... A bargain was made between them that the vicar should practice the black art with impunity during his life, but that the devil should possess his body after death, whether he was buried within or without the church. Right, and this was taken from 1895, this writing. It says that the irritated demon thereupon... Oh no, that's something else. So it said, exploiting both his superlative grammatical skills and vicarish knowledge of the church, he crafted his satanic pact to fool the devil and retain his soul, focusing with lawyer-like precision on the phrase within or without. Thus, the worthy vicar cheated his ally of his bargain by being buried within the church wall itself.
So, one, what is the vicar doing making pacts with the devil?
I thought that, yeah, yeah.
Like, surely, of all the people.
But it is an interesting thing that...
Also, though, do we think now, what was that,
1895.
Do we think that since then the devil might have updated his contracts?
Yeah.
To be well, less...
It might be like what you do now, you can an e-signature.
Yeah, I think he might have closed that loophole in the...
Yeah, he might have. But also, what it got me thinking about was, you know where he's saying that dinosaur bones are put there by the devil to make us not believe in evolution?
Yeah.
Which is nonsense. Even me as a religious person, that's absolutely nonsense. Mm-hmm. But now I'm thinking, you know, we've talked about in the past me making a pact with the devil so we get loads of wealth.
Yeah.
Like, joked about it.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking, I wonder if to do that you would have to, you know, like we talked also about chaos magic and the fact you have to believe the thing you're doing for the duration of that spell. You believe in whatever religion it is for the duration of that spell.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's part and parcel with it. Like, for the duration of the spell, I'd have to believe that the devil puts dinosaur bones down to fool people. Because I just don't think I could buy into that, even as a fake belief.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was my thought on it. It got me onto another subject as well, which I thought, that's interesting. I've not heard of that. And this is called future life progression. Have you heard of this?
No, but is it... similar to past life regression?
It is, but there's allegedly people are making a lot of money from it, like psychotherapists and stuff, because it's similar to regression in terms of, you know, oh, I was a sailor back then, and that's why I'm now afraid of water and afraid of drowning. But what it does is, because the future is tangible, and it can, not tangible, sorry, the future can fluctuate because not set in stone, what it makes you do is it makes you... You go under hypnosis, and instead of just going regressed, go back to 10 years ago, go back to 100 years ago, you go, like, go 5 years into the future, tell me what you're doing. And the hypnotist apparently positions it in a way where you see yourself doing the best possible outcome is possible for you to achieve.
Could easily be quite demotivating, couldn't it? Your best.
But let's say if it was something that you're completely happy with, like me, let's say you're making a living from podcasting and music, for example. Apparently then this hypnotist is able to say, well, that's completely achievable, and it makes you, when you come out of the hypnotism, follow whatever paths is needed to be took to follow that life.
Right.
And allegedly, according to this article, there's been some success with it where the hypnotist has kept in touch with the person who went under.
Mm.
And like this woman, for example, he said, go forward 2 years. And she said she was experiencing childbirth, although she didn't have children at that time. And she was also experiencing shame because she wasn't married. And he went, go for another 5 years. She was pregnant again. He said, in between that, she felt like she was drowning. And then he kept in touch with them and found out 2 years later, she was pregnant to a man she'd met, wasn't married to. 2 years later, through to something else, she tried to drown herself, but was saved at the last minute. And 3 years after that, she was pregnant again. So it all tied in. But you could say it's a self-fulfilling prophecy then, once you've already said it.
You could, but also it doesn't sound like she was that pleased about it. If she's feeling shame, she was drowning, it sounds bad. So, like, what's the positive about just knowing?
Yeah, it's a good point, actually.
It would have been better. Well, I mean, the thing is, I suppose, if it was better, you'd have no way of, like, validating it, would you? The way it would be beneficial is, like, for someone like you, say, all right, 5 years in the future, you know, you're a rock star. So, let's be honest, that's the plan.
That's the plan.
If you then went back 4 years, what were you doing? 3 years, what were you doing? 2 years, what were you doing? 1 year, what you were doing, so that you could then follow that and,
I see.
And then fulfill it. So to almost get like the manual on it, because, you know, if you're saying that the future fluctuates, but this guy's offering you the best possible one, then I think it's fair to surmise that they wouldn't all be like that. You know, you could fast forward 1-5 years and you're in exactly the same position, you know, same job, everything. But if he's showing you the best possible one, the question is, how do you get there? So if you can show you how do you get there, almost like a life guide, then by all means, you know.
Well, interestingly, I was saying this with Ben Fair, friend of the show.
Just announce his full name if you want on the show, by all means.
And I was saying, you know, we were both discussing, because he's a musician as well as, and he's got, like, we were both saying about compared to 12 months ago, where we're both at now.
Yeah.
And we came up, and basically what's happened, listener, is obviously this show's got a lot more successful in terms of downloads, in terms of the fact, you know, I've been on some of my hero shows like Chris Jericho. Certain things have happened, and 12 months ago I would have said, I remember saying, oh, I wish I was at that point that I'm at now. And there was a feeling attached to it where it was like, you know, it'd be great, like a lot of things had fallen into place at that point. And he was saying the same thing about his music. Now, in the last 12 months, his band has been signed by EMI to do soundscapes for the likes of BBC and stuff like this. And 12 months ago, he would have given his right arm for that. And we would have, with the same emotion, you know, that's when I know things are moving forward. Mm-hmm. But because it's happened drip by drip by drip by drip, you don't really appreciate that success. Do you know what I mean? And then we extrapolated that and both agreed that we don't think there'd ever be a dawning point, even if he becomes exceptionally famous and wealthy off his music, mm-hmm. and vice versa if I do through this or through music or whichever else.
Yeah.
We think it happened so piecemeal and so drip by drip that almost like the frog in the boiling water, not realising it's in boiling water, because as it slowly heats up. Have you heard that analogy?
Yes.
Right. So for anyone who hasn't,
we've all seen the film Volcano.
Exactly. So the analogy is, if you put a frog in boiling water, it jumps out, it's boiling. If you put it in cold water and heat it up slowly, it doesn't recognise the temperature change. So
apparently it's not true, that, you know.
It is not true, but it's a good analogy. Mm. So yeah, so it's an interesting thing. I wonder if you would ever take a step back.
See, I think you would, because I think that's why you have to celebrate the milestones, don't you? Like, you know, the benchmarks and all things. Because you are right, it's so easy to not, you know, just let these things, like, slide by bit. But, like, for example, a big one for you would be, like, leaving work.
Oh, yeah,
you know, usually. Like, to be financially...
That would be the biggest in your life.
Yeah, that would be, like, the big benchmark. So you would have to, you know, take note of that and celebrate it, you know. And then, you know, again, using the idea of rock star, like, yes, you know, you'd be playing gigs, et cetera, et cetera. You'd have to note, I don't know, maybe when you played your first, like, 5,000 arena gig or, you know, your first sold-out one, and then... Obviously, one that I would certainly take note of, like, you know, if you played the Pyramid Stage at Glastonbury, like, bam, you're there, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's it, you're there then.
It's, yeah, there's some of them it can't be taken away, and it's no longer subjective, do you mean?
Yeah, it's when you just need to, like, take a minute and enjoy it and be like, no, this is, you know, this is it. Like, to kind of recognise, in a way, that you are where you wanted to be.
Yeah. No, it's a very good point. It's an interesting one, though, because I don't, like, arguably when I started this podcast... If the me who sat here now, holding this recorder, talking to you, could speak to that person when I was getting like 40 downloads a day, and I was made up when I first broke 1,000 downloads,
yeah.
and it took me about 4 months mm-hmm. to break 1,000 downloads,
yeah.
and now every other day, you know, it will way top in that.
Yeah.
And that would have absolutely... I literally remember, I went on to... interesting history of the podcast here. I messaged Jeremy from the podcast what's it called? Podcast we need to listen to, or podcast we listen to, or something. Mm. And he's a lovely fella, American guy. And I emailed him, and he said, yeah, come on the show. And I was like, right, okay, yeah, that's brilliant. And I was made up, you know, first interview. Yeah. Not only was it my first interview, it was an international interview, he's American. Yeah. And I was chuffed. And then about 2 weeks after that was put out, in fact, it was longer, about 2 months, his show was featured in the New York Times, mm-hmm. suggesting that if you're getting into podcasts, listen to his show because it's really good.
Yeah.
And the day after that, I think I got 128 downloads in a day. And I remember the emotion going through my body at the time. It was like one of absolute hope.
Oh.
You know, and I've experienced this a few times. Yeah. A couple of times a year, something will happen.
Yeah.
Where, like, for example, I got it when I released that album and called... Which this soundtrack for the podcast is one of the songs. Anyway, I released that album, and the day that it was released, because close friends and family had bought it, and I didn't realise this at the time, but it takes very few amounts of purchases to get into the iTunes charts. But I thought, I'll check the charts. I won't be in the charts. But under singer-songwriter, I was number 25 in the charts.
Yeah.
And then I checked, my soul felt like it left my body. And then an hour later, I checked, I was number 18. Then I was number 10. And it built right up till it was number 2 in the charts. And the only person above me was Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
And the person behind me was Simon and Garfunkel. And my mate was even ringing me. He, on behalf of me, had this out-of-body experience. And he was, like, ringing me going, lad, look at that. Like, look at the chart. And we were both howling, laughing, saying, like, how's this happened? Little did I know, it takes, like, 20 buys to get to that position. But in my head, because I didn't know that, thousands and thousands were flying off the shelves. And this was it. I was leaving work. I was number 2 in the charts.
Yeah,
Ed Sheeran was keeping me off the top spot, and even now that's still a dead cool thing for me to have had.
Yeah, yeah, like that's you've got that now. You always were number 2 in the singer songwriter charts.
Yeah, definitely. But it's It's that feeling is the feeling that I crave with all of these little ventures. You know, the one like, this is a game changer. There's a tangible change.
I suppose
change.
That's the thing, isn't it? You don't know which ones do lead to something and which ones don't.
No.
That's the thing.
But that is the feeling that I chase.
Yeah.
And it's such an overriding feeling of anything's achievable.
Yeah.
And it's very, very fleeting when it comes. But when it does come, it's amazing. It's the best feeling in the world. If there was a drug that could encapsulate that, I would be on it.
Yeah.
Seriously, because it's such a good feeling. So yeah, I wonder when the next one of those is that I'm going to get.
I wonder.
Will it be music or will it be podcasts? To be honest, I thought I would get it off the Jericho interviews because I assumed, because he gets like 800,000 downloads per episode, that...
Well, you did off the first one, didn't you? You got that excitement.
I got that excitement because I assumed the next day I'd look at my downloads and I'd have 30,000 downloads per day.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. There was zero impact. Zero impact. And then I went on it again recently as well. That was aired on Friday. Currently not a massive impact. You know, there's been maybe a few hundred.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing now because I've had to reevaluate that I always assumed if you go on a really popular show, that gets your exposure. And it does, but now I'm reevaluating the relationship with Jericho now. As in, like, I'm just really happy to the fact I'm talking to Chris Jericho, who's a hero.
Yeah.
And I'm discussing ghosts and paranormal with him. So, you know, that's a fucking... If I would have said that 12 months ago to me, I'd be like, shut up.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
How'd you even know?
Yeah, we were talking about this at the time of the first one, because I was saying to you, like, whatever comes off the back of this, like, even if there's nothing at all that comes off the back of it, I was like, that's like a money can't buy. Like, if I could have bought you that for your birthday, like, the idea of you going onto his podcast and just chatting away about the Beatles and ghosts, like, I would have paid anything for it, you know, it's
yeah,
the
exactly,
kind of thing
yeah.
that you would have absolutely loved to, like, just, you know, enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, and now I've been on twice. There's been some really good feedback from people who just listened to his show.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably people listening to this who found me through Jericho and wondering why there's no discussion about ghosts. I feel I either need to explain again. But this show you listen to now, these are extra shows that I'm doing because of the situation the world's in at the minute. The standard show is out each weekend. So you'll see that these, title-wise, will be prefaced with "We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts." Because the show is called "We Need to Talk About Ghosts," so that's why we're not talking about ghosts. We can. These conversations are more just so that everybody can listen to voices that they're used to. And I've found, as I've explained before, some of my favourite podcasts are just rammed with the naughty C word that's doing the rounds at the minute. And it gets a bit tiresome. You need a bit of escape.
Yeah, this is a free zone, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know what I thought that we'd do, if you're up for it as well? And then we're going to continue it, if you are, into the Patreon edition of this little extra bit that we do. We would take that Frasier script book and we would act out a scene. Threw that on you, didn't you? No one's seen that coming.
What? Right, okay. Maybe.
And we'll just do it at random. And we're not going to get right into it. We're just going to see. And we'll do our best impressions. They're going to be shit.
Okay.
But that's why it'll be funny.
Okay.
Right, it's behind you to the left. So, Frasier, the sitcom, we bought a script book because we love it so much. In fact, I bought you this, didn't I, from a charity shop?
Yeah. So, do you remember? So, we did this once before, didn't we, when we were drunk with the Partridge book, script book?
With the Alan Partridge book, yeah.
But it ended up that you did Partridge and I did every other character.
Yeah, because
it got quite difficult.
On occasion, I can do quite a good Alan Partridge.
Yeah. Right, so. What do you want to do? Just want to open it
just
for a random
open
page?
A random page.
Okay.
And we'll crack on. So I don't know who I'll be Frasier.
Of course you will, yeah. Okay. You're gonna have to come around so you can see it.
I'll stand up.
Okay.
Right,
so
scene
go
B.
In Frasier's living room. Okay, so
do
you want me to read
you read the description
the
of
intro.
This scene.
Okay.
And action.
Frasier is dressed casually, drinking a cup of coffee and eating a scone while reading the morning newspaper. Eddie just stares at him. Frasier won't look at Eddie.
And this is Frasier now, without looking at the dog, Eddie. You're not going to get any of my scones, so just forget it. And it's really good too. Look, you may think you can wear me down, but as far as I'm concerned, you're not even here. For God's sake, Eddie, here, get fat. And I throw him the scone.
You know what, you don't sound like Frasier, you sound like Kelsey Grammer doing The Simpsons character.
Doing Sideshow Bob?
Yes. No, the other one.
Sideshow Bob. The one who wants to kill Bart all the time.
Maybe.
That's Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, I know. I thought there was another one.
His brother Niles, when he comes in.
Okay. You're doing too woo, like too theatrical. Just
that's because I'm Frasier Crane.
It's too much. Okay.
How dare you?
Fraser Gibson and the rest of the scone. Eddie retreats to enjoy it in peace, passing Martin as he enters. He got you again, huh? You're such a soft touch.
I am not.
He never begs when I'm eating.
Maybe he doesn't like what you eat. But maybe he doesn't like what you eat.
See what I mean?
That was a Jewish New Yorker. Maybe he doesn't. 20 pence. What do you want 20 pence for?
Enough.
I don't know. Yeah.
Trust me, he's not picky. I've seen him eat a beetle.
Where am I?
We're here.
Oh, Daphne enters with a leash. I'll be Daphne.
Okay. Eddie, let's go for a walk.
Oh dear. I thought you already walked in this morning.
I did twice, Eddie.
He has to go again?
She hooks the leash onto Eddie's collar.
No, actually, I do.
Actually, I do, is what she's saying.
No, actually, I do.
What?
No, actually, I do. That didn't sound right. There's a very nice-looking gentleman who plays with Frisbee and his Labrador in...
Oh, I can't even listen to his voice. It's awful. Park. Why are you doing that dreadful voice? It's, like, painful to listen to.
I have no idea.
Why are you doing it? No, actually, I do. That didn't sound right. There's a very nice-looking gentleman who plays Frisbee with his Labrador in the park. Eddie and I are hoping to run into them. Come on. See, that's how it should
That was good. Thanks. I'll be Fraser now. I'm glad somebody is.
You just skipping lines now.
Well, that's there.
I say, come on, Eddie. He's just playing hard to get.
I'm glad somebody is.
What is wrong with you? Why are you so incapable?
Because I thought this would be better now. It's just a bit weird. But we are going to continue this on the Patreon. So you've all got that to look forward to, you lucky, lucky things. I fear a lot of cancellations coming up. If you'd like to hear more of us doing Fraser and Daphne whilst we do these extra episodes, and let's be honest, who wouldn't? There may even be some Alan Partridge scripts in there. Go over to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. In the meantime, we'll be back to do no more of this, but we will be talking about something else. What day are we on? Tuesday. We'll be back on Thursday.
Just so you know, this was not a good advert for...
Oh, God, I know. That's why it was funny.
Okay.
I think. Okay, we love you all. And don't forget, if you've got any scary stories, send them in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. Okay. Tatty bye.
Bye.